from Indonesia. Friday night, he will be in Cornerstone Church at 10 p.m., 10 to about 12 or 1, and he will be sharing and speaking. That will be his first speaking. And then Saturday morning, Pastor Leah, his wife, will share testimony with women's group. And Sunday morning, Pastor Abednego will be preaching here, and then also afternoon. And let me tell you, he's got tons and tons of amazing testimonies. So if you like, you know, to hear what God is doing in Indonesia and how God uses little, you know, people in an amazing way, I think it would be a fantastic time for us to get excited about what God's doing. So just a little bit there. How many heard that Neville has gone home to be with the Lord? Neville Johnson, he came to GI to preach a number of years ago. He's has impacted many wonderful men of God. His life was not without controversy. It wasn't perfect life, but he loved the Lord and walked with God very, very deeply. So he has also left a deposit in my life. So he's supposed to be actually coming to preach in Come Lord Jesus conference. And it's interesting, early this year, I've actually had a dream where Neville was about to go home. And he was, coming to share and then share as much as he could. He was imparting. It was a small table fellowship. I was one of those. And anyway, he talked about different seasons, and the whole body is moving different seasons. So we really need to focus on the Lord to move rightly. That's the gist of the dream that I had. And I really expected and hope that he will be here to really leave a deep, deep impact. But obviously the Lord has different use for him, different idea. His son, Mark Johnson, will be coming. I think it will be an emotional one where he will be talking about his father. But when I heard that, it's interesting also. You know, I had another quick dream where Isaiah 55 was given. And verse 5, I didn't know what it was in there. And that's about, you know, the change of God's new leadership of David. God is raising up, and also God is anointing new generation of leaders. So you can have a look at it if you feel that's something that's for you. Isaiah 55 verse 5 was given to me in my dream. And when I woke up, I looked at it, and I thought it's significant, I believe. You know, when God takes certain people home, it's not without, often they leave something behind. They leave a message behind, and there are some significance to it. But how many believe that there is a changing of God's? And we're moving into a very exciting time. So, let's get connected. Keep focused on the Lord. If you are personally moving through a time of transition as well, focus on the Lord. It's time to seek intimate relationship with God. Don't look around and look at circumstances as much. Look to the Lord and hear the still small voice of God. Don't get sidetracked or don't get knocked out of your position because of the things that because when you move through a transition, a lot of things can come and hit you and move you out of the place that you are supposed to be occupying. So just focus on the Lord. Don't jump. Don't move. Don't be moved by others. Move by what God is saying. I think that's very, very important, because otherwise we, you know, in the changes, you know, you get thrown out of the position you're supposed to be in that'll take you to next stage of your appointment. So move by the voice of God, okay? Maybe I'll said enough. I'll leave it at that. What was it, Mary? When angel visited Mary, angel Gabriel visited Mary, and the last time he comes into scene is 500 years earlier. And what does Mary say? He talks about how Mary will be blessed, and why is she blessed? Because she will bear a son, and he will be occupying the throne of David, which will not come to an end, which will expand forever. And when Mary was asking how, what did he say? With God, nothing is impossible. Now, I gave you a literal translation from Greek. What was it? Does anybody remember? No word of God is without power. That's literally, it's very strange translated that way, but it's very insightful when you see it. Because, you know, of course, with God, nothing's impossible, but he's saying that it's, every word of God is like a seed. He says, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Power of the Most High will come upon you. And then he says, that with every word of God that he speaks to you, that word is not sterile. All the power that you need to get that word of promise fulfilled is inside that word itself. Because no word of God is sterile and without power. And when you receive it in faith, the word in itself has power to deliver the promise. So you don't have to look at the circumstances. You don't have to look at the people. You don't have to look at others. You just receive it by faith. It's a principle of faith. God always works with people of faith. We cannot please God if we don't believe what God speaks to us. Sometimes we need to rest and believe what God speaks to you. Salvation is the same way. And when Mary believed in her heart, that word that spoke, that came from the throne saying that you will bear a son as a virgin, the power to fulfill it was in that word. So Mary, I believe, conceived by faith in her spirit the promise before the DNA, the seed of God, was implanted into her womb. And Mary's response was, let it be done to me according to your word. Yeah, that's really important. I am what? Maidservant of the Lord. That's her favorite title. We're going to hear it again because she truly is a humble person. See, faith and humility always goes together. The very verse that revolutionized Christianity, just shall live by faith. Does anybody know the next half of the verse? Talks about the pride. Those who are proud, their heart is not right. Pride and faith cannot go together. To the degree that we have pride, we cannot believe. And Mary, if I can say anything, for the Bible speaks over and over again, Mary's tremendous favor that she received from God. She is blessed throughout generations. And the one characteristic Bible pinpoints again and again is her outstanding humility. That's all. Yeah, she's humble. She says she sees herself as a maidservant of the Lord to carry out the plan of God. And we talked about what it means, right? Because when you are engaged, betrothed, to be married in about a year's time, and then you already have a husband committed to you, can't be dissolved except by divorce. Even though you haven't consummated their commitment physically. In that period, angel comes and says, you're going to have a son without the involvement of Joseph. So how does she explain this thing? If it was before, she is not going to be known as at least adulterer. She will not lose Joseph. If it was after, it's okay, but it's just in that time period where she will definitely be misunderstood. And you know what Jesus says? Because of the word, difficult time will come, right? Because if it has the true life of God, if it is God's word that God spoken into your heart, you believed, starting with salvation and other promises, the testing will come to you because of that word. What does Mary say? Says, let it be. I'm going to whatever it costs, whatever it means, I'm going to carry this promise through full term because I'm just a maidservant of the Lord. Let God's will be done. This is the true heart of Christians, right? Because we also are highly, highly favored by the Lord because we carry Jesus Christ in our spirit. As Apostle Paul said, by life or by death, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. So, amen. So we made, all of us made that commitment, right? That we will honor the Lord. We want the Lord to be revealed through our lives. Hallelujah. By life or by death, Christ be magnified in our mortal body, in our life. So now I'm going to read not the rest of the chapter. We're going to read next half of the chapters when Mary visits Elizabeth. And we're going to talk about this. Luke opens up with three wonderful poetic songs. So we're going to look at it. If you actually make it into Broadway, it'll work well. So Elizabeth sings, even though it's written as prose. And after that, Mary sings. And after a little, just a short while, the John is delivered and Zechariah sings. And it's just a wonderful song. So we're going to start looking at the two of them today, two songs of the two women who shared amazing secret just between the two, that they were, one was carrying a prophet, a forerunner, and the other one was carrying the Messiah. And in fact, more than Messiah, the Son of God, such a thing has never entered into their heart, their mind, but that was the truth, and it was a secret between two women. No other soul on earth understood the fullness of what they had inside their tummy. And the future of mankind was to be decided in what they were carrying. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. Okay, now let's read Luke chapter 1, verse 39, and through to 56 when Mary visits Elizabeth. Are you ready? I'm going to read from New King James Version, verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Now we read Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, and behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Amen. So, remember, that visitation of Gabriel with Zechariah and then Mary has just ended. And what would you feel when you just had most amazing encounter with Gabriel, one of the chief angel who says, I've come from the presence of the Lord. He is literally buzzing with light. The presence of God hits you. How many know what, you know, sometimes when God visits you in dreams or vision, you have the sense of the presence of God all over you for a while. That's what happened. Every cell, every spirit part of our being is tingling with the sense of God's holiness and the presence of God, and she is in awe. What would she be thinking? What would you be thinking if you had an encounter like that? There's a just a deep, deep experience that's life-changing. And what would you do after that? Sometimes, you know, sometimes even though you have a wonderful encounter, if it is just external, things can fade a little bit in time. Would you have pinched yourself? Was it a dream? Was it a hallucination? What's happening? You know, but a sign was given in that encounter. That sign is what? You can always check whether that encounter was genuinely from God or from the devil, because before Gabriel left, he said that your cousin, probably the first cousin, Elizabeth, relative, is 6 months into conception, and she knows that Elizabeth is well advanced in years, right? Not old, but well advanced in years. So she knows that she can't. They prayed and prayed. They gave up. But angel said she is now 6 months into pregnancy. So what would you do? What would you do? You had an encounter like that. You were supposed to have a son without involvement of man. And in fact, it is the promised Messiah that all Jews are looking for. And after years and 400 years of oppression and silence, you know, all Jews are looking for God to speak and send the Messiah. She's got that Messiah. Plus, she just heard from the angel's mouth that it is not just the Messiah, it is the Son of God. How could this be? What would you do? Would you wait a little bit? Or what would you do if you're in a situation? You will check out straight away, right? Would you wait or would you go straight away? You go straight away. That's what Mary did. In those days, she went. And she came down from the northern part of Israel. And this is about 90 miles of distance, or 150 kilometers, which takes about 4 to 6 days on foot. There are some tour groups that was actually taking people on foot. It takes a while. It's an arduous journey by a young girl by a foot. 4 to 6 days of journey, 90 miles, 150 kilometers, for there was no mobile phones or text messages in those days. So she gets up and she is going. See? What was she thinking during these days? What would you be thinking? All kinds of things, right? It's definitely not a dream. Was it a hallucination? No. But what would she be thinking? Why me? Would you? Why me? Me. And was it all true? Is this truly Messiah, Son of God? So she's pondering all that. And in fact, she was thinking about one particular biblical character more than anybody else. Anybody guess who that is? Except Mia? Well, who would you think in your mind? She just heard she is too young to have a baby. Oh, well, without, not yet. And then another one she knows had been in pain most of her life because she couldn't have a son. Now she's well advanced in years. Now suddenly, two women who cannot have natural conception have both conceived because of the visitation of angel. With one, the reproach is taken away. With the other one, now reproach has come upon her. But this is the will of God. What, who would she be thinking? Sarah will be one. Yes. But I've got somebody else in mind. Yes, Hannah. Why? Yeah, Samuel. Samuel was conceived by Hannah. And then Samuel, the prophet, anointed David, the king. And then when you look at the song of Hannah and then song of Mary, they are the same ones, parallel. So you can check it out. It's really fascinating what she is singing. She is basically reiterating what Hannah said. But now, Mary is thinking 4 to 6 days. She's thinking about Sarah. She's thinking, this is, I want to talk about that. About, you know, sometimes God's people are barren. The thing that you desire the most are not given to you. Somehow you're powerless, or it could be business, it could be marriage, it could be your calling, it could be job, something that you're in pain and you feel you're barren. And sometimes it's strategic. It's not because of something else. It's strategic planning of God for God to make you desperate to seek God so that God can supernaturally bring you the promise. That's how God works. All of our patriarchs couldn't be born naturally. People had to cry out to God and get supernatural miracle from God, which was the promised child. So I just want to move on with that. We may come back to that later. Now, Mary is just outside Elizabeth's house. Her heart is pounding. Her mind is alternating quickly between two scenarios and two opposite outcome. What is she going to look at? She's going to check 6 months. You can check straight away. You know, Elizabeth's tummy. And if it is not out there, oh, I just came to see you. And then she have to think the whole thing over again. But if it was, then maybe I will have the Messiah. This baby that I will have a baby, and it will be the king. So, heart is pounding. Then she enters in, and instead of she, you know, asking or checking, because she came to see, to make sure that it is true, Elizabeth said something that was stunning. Now, this is the first one. The four words, that sentences that Elizabeth speaks to Mary, but Elizabeth is now filled with the Spirit, and she's singing, and she sang not the premeditated words. This is a prophetic utterance. Things that hadn't entered into her mind, she spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Spirit, and the word just flowed out. And this is a model of the prophetic utterance, prophetic ministry. Okay, so we want to study that. So first one, Elizabeth, he says, blessed are you among women. How would you feel? She came to see, check the tummy, and then Elizabeth says, blessed are you. The fourth is, you are the most blessed among all women. And what's the word that baffled her? What did angel say to her, the first one? She says, you blessed, highly favored. And then she's asking the question, why? Why me? How come me? How am I? She's asking all that. And the first word that came is the same word she heard from an angel a few days ago. Can you see that she's now reliving the whole experience? Blessed are you among women. And then Elizabeth doesn't stop there. She goes on to say, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. This is a prophetic utterance. How did she know? See, it's not premeditated. She didn't know. Holy Spirit came over her, and the words just flowed like a river. And then she said something that bypassed her mind. And not a soul on earth now knows that Mary is pregnant. It's only a few days since angelic visitation to now Elizabeth's house is probably just about a week inside 1 week of pregnancy, not even Joseph knows, not a soul knows, and says, blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now, this is stunning, in shock. And she said, why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? See, in Jewish custom, it is a duty of a younger to come and visit the older, especially when there is, you know, news like this. Happy pregnancy. Not only happy pregnancy, pregnancy at an old age. It's a miracle. It's a talk of the whole town, right? It's not a secret. Everybody knows what happened to Zechariah. He came out of the temple and go, couldn't bless, became dumb, and he had a sin and a vision. Everybody know something happened, and everybody knows. And Mary, of course, came, ought to come to congratulate her, but he says, no, no, how come you've come to me, which is supposed to be happening, but that's not right. I should have come to you. That's what Elizabeth is saying. Look at the humility in her heart also. But also, more importantly, it's the secret identity of baby in Mary's womb is revealed here. She calls that little, less than probably 1 week old, conceived baby in Mary's womb called Lord. Curious, the Lord. And Luke chapter 1 and 2 mentions the Lord 25 times referring to God. Isn't that incredible? So this Elizabeth is the very first person that called Jesus Lord, which means high title, God. Full revelation just coming through her. And then she says, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. The prophetic ministry of John began at 6 months gestation period, not 30 years later. This is his first prophecy. The baby leaped. And how terrible it is that Australia is trying to pass a bill to kill these babies who can be used by God to prophesy. Just 6 months on, Spirit of God can move through the baby. And they can hear. See, 6 months, the ear is, I hear, the doctors are here, but they get ears first, before the eyes, or it's one of the first organs to develop. They can hear. And then their spirit can respond and react to the thing. See, even before your physical parts are formed, your spirit can respond to the spirit and pick up revelations. Isn't that amazing? And look at the flow of the Spirit. It didn't flow from Elizabeth to John. Only 6 months inside the tomb, inside the womb. Inside the womb, yeah. And the angel said what? Angel said the baby will be filled with the Spirit inside mother's womb. This is true. He's filled with the Spirit, and that Spirit flowed from the baby to Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth is filled, and she's prophesying. Isn't that incredible? The baby spirit is not weaker or smaller than adult spirit. It filled, baby was filled with the Spirit, and then it flowed over to Elizabeth. That's incredible. Once again, the value of the unborn little children. Their full spirit, and in fact, he was, you know, so filled and powerful. And then the Spirit of God began to flow like a river. The capacity of the Spirit is incredible, that even baby's mind is not formed fully, right? Your spirit can pick up revelations far beyond your capacity for your mind to analyze and understand information. Your spirit just picks up revelation. Sometimes it's just microseconds, so quick that before your mind can process, Spirit of God can give you words of knowledge and words of wisdom. And then this is how the Spirit of God moves. And this is the moving of the Spirit. Yeah. So, now, And one more thing I want to say is the Spirit of God, our body is called what? Temple of the Holy Spirit. The best transmitter of the Holy Spirit is the human body. Your body, your physical body is temple of the Holy Spirit. And then they're from, like, I don't know, 6 months, how big is it? Small clump of cell filled with the Holy Spirit can actually transmit that Holy Spirit all over Elizabeth. So this is the same principle as a laying on of hands. See, your physical body is like a metal iron conducts electricity so well. Human body conducts Holy Spirit so well. That's why we lay hands on one another and pray, praying tongues, and you release it through your words and your touch. Incidentally, it's very also important that it means that, you know, those who lay hands on you need to be very careful, because wrong spirit can also transmit. So don't go to all the meetings, just get lay hands on from anybody that you don't know, that your spirit don't feel comfortable with. Reserve it, yeah? Just take care. So you can see the spirit is like a river. It's flowing. See, the Spirit of God, the prophetic ministry that was upon, or mental anointing that was in John, the Baptist, actually flowed over, that the river flowed into Elizabeth, and she was filled, and then out came the words, that like a river of water. I don't know. I can share with you when I was, some years ago, the Spirit flows like a river in your stomach. It's like just around here. It just flows. I remember taking this little boy, washing him, and, you know, just he's sitting in front of me. I'm just washing him. I could feel the river of love just flow. And I knew it was, I couldn't see it physically, but it was a river flowing from my spirit into his spirit. It's the love of God flowing. And that's why laying on of hands, a prophetic spirit, we're all connected in spirit. Amen? So this is a prophetic word now. So she has the word of knowledge. There's a river of prophecy. Not premeditated words are coming over her. With that river of prophecy comes the word of knowledge. And then the last word is, blessed is she who believes, for there will be the fulfillment of those things. Now, what more do you want? She's saying prophetic words, and she's giving words of knowledge, which brings conviction. And then she says, confirmation, because of your faith, you believed, you received the word. It's implanted in you. By faith, the word has made effective. You've conceived. Because you don't always know after 1 week whether you've truly conceived yet. She is actually confirming you've conceived because you believed, and that all that the Lord has spoken to you will come to pass. What more do you want? This is a wonderful example of prophetic ministry, giving you confirmation of what God has already spoken to you. And then the power of it is that when word of knowledge, things, information that you couldn't have naturally known comes, and then comes confirmation and encouragement that that word will come to pass. That's really a model of wonderful prophetic ministry in operation. And you don't have to, act it up. Just say it as it is. And I think we need to actually operate in a higher level of these with humility, right? You don't have to say, oh, thus says the Lord all the time. She just said it. She didn't say, thus says the Lord. She just said it, but it was enough. See, Mary came all the way, days of arduous journey, to seek confirmation of her visitation, vision. And she came to see the tummy of Elizabeth, and she got double confirmation. She not only saw, she also heard and saw a prophetic ministry of John through his mother, confirming everything that she's seen. In fact, confirming the very identity of the person that she's carrying, as well as confirming that she now has actually conceived. Isn't that incredible? That's prophetic ministry. Should we be seeking the same thing? Amen? The prophetic ministry is not the goal in itself. It always points to something. It is a ministry of encouragement, very often, 80-90%. And when I was in Indonesia, after the ministry, a young man came to me and asking me, "Oh, I want a confirmation. Can you pray for me?" So I pray for him and so on. And, "Oh, yeah, when you pray for me, I felt this and that." And then when I questioned some things, like he thought that God spoke to him because somebody spiritual had given him prophecy. That thought had never occurred to him before. So he's trying to see how he can completely change his life to make that word come to pass. And I said, no, don't do that. Prophetic word should serve you as confirmation. And there is a great danger when God has spoken to you, you are using somebody else's prophecy as a direction for your future. There is a great danger. Because God's given you the Holy Spirit, that word, really the best way is to confirm what God has already spoken to you. If God hasn't spoken to you, it's the first time, then you put it on the shelf and pray through until God speaks to you and make it clear to you. Don't blindly follow somebody else's prophecy. I think that's very, very important. All right? But we all can be filled with the Spirit. Amen. We all can prophesy. We all can encourage one another. What this ministry of encouragement, prophetic ministry, John's ministry was to point to Jesus. So it is. We seek. Apostle Paul says, it's greater is the one who prophesies because you encourage somebody else with that gifting. So here we go, yeah? So, praise the Lord. True word of God over your life will be fulfilled in due time, so long as we walk in obedience to God's word. So what has God spoken to you? If it is the true word of the Lord, it will be fulfilled. Take courage. Amen? Amen. Okay, now, the evidence of being filled with the Spirit was she spoke with a loud voice. So it usually comes out through your mouth when you're filled with the Spirit. Okay, and then with it came those gifts, you know, words of wisdom and words of knowledge. Words of knowledge always bring information and it brings conviction. It releases faith. Words of wisdom gives you direction. It gives you understanding and encouragement also. Anyway, so now we come to a song of Mary. Mary is known as the most blessed of women. So what kind of person was she? Who knows? What kind of person? Because how much insight do we have about this person, Mary, who is very blessed? Not that much. In fact, what was she thinking? Here is the only place in the scripture where the significant part of her thoughts, what kind of person, what kind of thinking, what kind of mindset she had comes through. So it's called Magnificat because it's actually mean magnifying God. This is also a prophetic poem, but it's not a poem that she never thought of. I believe it's something that she thought through very deeply about during the days of her travel. She must have thought about, Henna a lot, and just the irony of the two women who cannot have natural birth now. The great promise of God, the greatest promise of God, is going to be fulfilled through this conception, like Henna. Okay, it's a beautiful praise. It's a poetry. Now, I'll talk about it later. Yeah. Okay. So Mary starts off with her praise with God. Okay. So she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generation will call me blessed." So we want to take time, you know, to think about what kind of person was Mary. She starts off with praising God and magnifying God, and she rejoices in God, her Savior. And the reason why she's rejoicing is that God had regarded her lowly state and has done a great thing. And then she humbly accepts what God is saying over and over again, that he's saying, you are the most blessed of all. She actually finally accepts it. I think that's really wonderful pattern of praise. First of all, you praise God and you rejoice in God. That's a wonderful. We had a rejoicing today. Rejoicing in God is a wonderful thing. And magnifying means you make God big. You actually, you know, enlarge your vision of who God is. And then she is rejoicing in God. And then she offers herself as a humble servant in humility. God has done and regarded a lowly state. As God becomes bigger, she becomes smaller. But in the midst of it, she accepts what God says of her, which means she is the most blessed. And I explained to you last week already, only time when God says, you highly favored one, it was spoken only twice, once to Mary, once to the rest of the Christians in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, because we have Christ in you. We are highly, highly favored. Amen. And then she actually says it in humility, accepts what God says her of her to be the blessed person. Do you do that? Sometimes, I mean, you know, we sometimes go one way or one way. Sometimes we get so big, God is small, we magnify how great we are, and then, you know, that doesn't really bring great praise. We don't think about who God is. And then we bring ourselves humbly. Sometimes we leave us there. We put ourselves, we are so bad, just to repent, and you're really not worth the blessing, or we feel bad about ourselves. We can't believe for what God says of us for the future. Leave it there. That's not praise. Praise is you accept what God speaks of you and me. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Hallelujah. We carry the Son of God in us. God says, we are blessed. And not only are we blessed, we will be the channel of God's blessing to all nations. So she accepts that, and she praises God for it. And then, one thing about Mary is that, again, church goes one way or other. Sometimes we call Mary the God-bearer. The Bible never says Mary is God-bearer, but Mary is blessed. Church either venerates, deify Mary, or curse Mary for that as a reaction. But we shouldn't curse or speak badly of Mary. Is that true? She's truly a humble servant of the Lord, and she needs a Savior, she says. My soul exalts in God, my Savior. She is saved, like us, through her faith. Oh, she's a sinner like the rest of us, so she needs Savior. Savior is Jesus Christ. It's God. She is saved person. She is a humble person. And she is blessed person. God blessed her. She's a blessed person. So as, I guess, Protestants or Pentecostals or whatever, you know, after Reformation, we tend to really speak evil or sometimes speak very badly of Mary. I don't think we should do that. But we should not put Mary in the level of God either. But we should learn from Mary. Okay, I think that's enough said, yeah. And then she says who God is. She speaks of God's might, and in this context, God's sovereignty, okay? She has a vision of God's holiness, and then she speaks of God's mercy. I think it's wonderful praise. I think we need to actually get back to this. We need to understand God's might God's sovereignty. Acknowledge it. God is sovereign. God is great. God is mighty. And then God's holiness is praised. And then God's mercy follows. I believe it is very important because I want to make a general statement for our days. And, you know, sometimes worship and praise can become spiritual karaoke, singing competition, musical competition, and enjoy it. That's not worship. I believe the danger is that we are losing vision of God's holiness. And when we lose vision of God's holiness, we tend to think God's mercy is our right. It is God's mercy. And Mary says, He gives mercy to those who fear Him from generation to generation. Mercy is God's to dispense through His cross, by His sovereign grace, and so on. And then mercy is for those who are humble. Grace is for those who are humble, and mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. Does that include our generation? Yes, yes. Scripture has never changed. And until we get the vision of God's holiness, I believe the level of God's anointing and mercy will be quite low. So I want to just maybe leave it at that. We can discuss it in a small group and so on. Because, you know, when you study the man of God in the Bible and also in the classics, those who were close to God thought of God's holiness the most. Nowadays, we just think about God's love only. And then God has almost no choice except to tolerate all things because it's our right. But we are living very low level of God's grace in that way. All right? All right. How does God's mercy manifest through His Messiah? He talks about three groups. He actually manifests in God's equity, His justice, divine justice. And in Mary's day, divine justice administered through Messiah means total reversal. It's revolution. It's scary. Revolution. The upside down world is turned right side up. And he mentioned three groups of people. First one is proud. And the next one is the mighty. And the third one is the rich. And he turned them around. And he says, it's a really powerful word here. He says, God has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. I've underlined it. I couldn't have described it better. What is the core of the proud? It's the imagination of their heart. Imagination of their heart. Heart, the imagination goes somewhere. I'm supposed to be like this. And then he says, God puts down the mighty from their thrones, but exalts the lowly. The third one is the rich. God sends them away empty-handed, but the hungry, He fills them with good things. It's incredible. What is the key idea here in Mary? Mary's only song, deep reflection of her heart, the blessed of the Lord, the chosen by God to bear Christ. What was her mindset and the main message that comes through? It's humility. So simple. He's saying the proud will be humbled. Humble will be exalted. Simple. Incidentally, this is one of the favorite teachings of Jesus. He's to say that over and over again. Jesus said it as a universal law. Because that's the mission of Messiah. As Christ comes, proud in the imagination of their heart, they will get humbled. And those who are humble will be exalted. So Mary needed saving, and she got Messiah. She got saved. She's blessed because, you know, her favorite title of herself is the maidservant of the Lord. She calls it again, I'm a maidservant of the Lord. Why is she saying this message? Reversal, revolution, humble will receive mercy, grace, And the God resists the proud. It's the same thing. Why? It's because she must have thought and said to herself 1,000 times, why me? Why me? God, why did you choose me? I am nothing. Mary is not from rich family, from a northern town, married, you know, to a carpenter. And I have a very humble life. And why was she chosen to bear the Son of God? So Jesus speaks, this is the universal law. And I believe this is something that I believe the church is, you know, going to learn tremendously before Jesus returns. We are going to learn from Mary. Amen. We're going to walk in great grace. Great grace. Hallelujah. And then he says, God helps his servant Israel because God is faithful and to his seeds forever. Now, Mary stayed for 3 months with Elizabeth to help her through the last stage of her pregnancy, and then she returned home just before John's birth. Why? Because the house will be filled with the guests and the relatives, house relatives, common relatives, because they are related. And by now, after 3 months, which is the beginning of the second trimester, what happens to Mary? Her tummy is getting bigger, and she's getting all kinds of sleeping problem, nausea, all kinds of things. People can tell, morning sickness, evening sickness, wants to eat a lot of Tim Tams and ice creams and so on. So it's not a good idea to hang around after John's birth, right? So she stays, help Elizabeth all the way, but just leaves before. And then after this, we don't know whether these two women have ever met each other again, but they carried most amazing secret that they had Malachi's prophecy, the forerunner, spirit of Elijah, and the Messiah in their tummy. And you can see humility of two women preferring one another as well. Now she's got to go back. Mary's got to go back to face Joseph. Betrothed to marry her, he doesn't know. And little did she know that in less than 6 months, Mary will have to make another trip down all the way to Jerusalem. Full. Even harder, but she will have a donkey's back and she will have Joseph by her side, which she didn't know at the time. So now her future is all but a mystery. But she is thinking, I'm going to trust God. She makes her way back home. You know, what awaits her in hometown? What will happen to Joseph? What will happen to her life? See, Mary never tries to explain this whole thing to Joseph. She left the explaining to God. And God explained to Joseph. It's actually quite wise. Because if she tried to explain it, it won't work. Would it work? Angel appeared to me. I'm suddenly... So she just leaves it to God, and God explains, and the marriage is saved. Hallelujah. And then the future unfolds now. See, God always chooses ordinary folks like that. Yeah. They had no idea, no idea. What they were carrying in their tummy would change the course of the history. In fact, what you are carrying in your spirit, in your spirit, I feel, is around the same area here, tummy, lower abdomen area. Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus Christ is in you. That Jesus has power to change the course of human history. Amen? And now I'm going to give you a couple of questions, and then we're going to sing and we're going to pray. But I want to ask you, maybe you have a clear promise from God that you're carrying in your heart. Now, Jesus that you carry is more important than anything else, right? But that Jesus, have you received promise from God? Did God speak to you about your future? And you feel unsure. you feel weak. Maybe you feel a bit like Mary. What will happen to my future? Maybe you feel you're alone, you're misunderstood. You don't feel that you've got what it takes. Maybe you feel your future is uncertain. How would Mary feel? Can you imagine? Second trimester, walking on foot all the way, 150 kilometers back home, to face her husband and all the relatives. She doesn't know what's going to happen. And it wasn't easy. What happened to her wasn't easy. But she was victorious in it. So what God promises us is that as a Christian, when you receive God's promise, you're running with God's vision. God never promises easy life, but God does promise you will be victorious in it if you don't give up and walking in obedience to God. Amen? And the next one is that it's the same one. If you have unfulfilled areas, is there an area of barrenness in your life? This is what I desire, but somehow it's barren. It could be the business, it could be your work, job, it could be marriage, it could be anything. There is a barrenness that brings pain. You know, God works through barrenness. Amen. We need to seek God and find out what that is for. Is this barrenness by the will of God, or is this a strategic barrenness for God to get you to pray? God to get you to come to a place where you say, God, I can't do it. If you give me a son, I'm going to dedicate it completely to you for your purpose. It's not going to be mine. It's going to be yours. Hannah came to that place. So Mary sings the same Hannah song saying, this baby, these two babies, it's not ours, it's yours. It wasn't us to conceive. It was you who did. It's your plan and it's your purpose. I'm just the vehicle. Have your way. I'm not going to lay claim. It's yours. Gave it back to God. And through that promise, God's going to change. God's going to bring his divine justice on earth. I'm going to read Isaiah 54, verse 1 to 8, and we're going to pray. Isaiah 54, verse 1 to 8. I don't have that slide. So if you feel that way, if this is a strategic barrenness for you to get to a deeper place in God, this is a word for the barren. Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge your place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations, and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame, for you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. For your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you are refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Amen. This prophecy so befits Mary's case. You know how it ends? This prophecy ends with the verse, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Can you see and think about all the tongues wagging against Mary? Mary delivered the son of the promise. So will we. Amen? Why don't we stand? Let's pray. Yeah. I want you to think about areas of your barrenness. Ask the Lord, Lord, is it strategic barrenness? Do you want me to seek you for a breakthrough? Because it was. For Hannah, it was. For Elizabeth, it was. And for many of God's people, when God gives you great promise, usually it will be preceded by barrenness. So let's ask the Lord. We're going to sing, if I can get musicians, you know, or let the Son of God, let's sing that just a couple of times. And we're going to pray and bring ourselves to higher level of dedication. We're going to affirm what God speaks of you. You are highly favored. Hallelujah. We are blessed of the Lord. Let the blessing that Christ has won for you on the cross flow in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This one doesn't have the battery. It doesn't work. I won't play. Okay, can you just play it in D chord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just let the Holy Spirit move through you. Hallelujah. Oh, let the